Please turn to a couple of more passages in the Word of God. One in Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and just the first couple of verses that the Apostle Paul says, those familiar words of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And if you turn to another passage in John chapter 17, John chapter 17, that wonderful high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, and just a couple of verses, John 17 and verse 9, this is the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is his will. He says to his Father, I pray for them. Who are these people? These are believers. These are the disciples. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And then verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. That is the will of our God. That, yes, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. In what sense? Because we have now been born from above. The Christian has been born again. That means we have been born from heaven. Heaven is the source of our salvation. God is the source of our salvation. And we are called again and again that not to be conformed to this world. Now, friends, I said to you this morning that I want to, from time to time, pause in our series in Exodus and then concentrate on some topical messages, on things that are concerning us, the things, practical subjects about living for the Lord, living for His glory. It is a burden of your elders and the and I'm sure all the ministers of the gospel, that the Lord's people, the youth, the adults, children, we are all, every single one of us, including the elders, including those officers, we are all exposed daily, day in, day out, to all forms of temptation. Have you not been tempted last week in some way to conform to the world? And sadly, there are many who are going astray. Maybe not outwardly, but inwardly. We can come to a place of worship like this regularly. We can say things, but inwardly, there would be a cancer growing that no one else sees until it demonstrates itself outwardly. And this is something that we must be always watchful over, and the scriptures keep giving us commands in the New Testament, especially. Children may be brought up in a Christian home, and yet they are being lost in droves. As they grow up, as they go to colleges and universities, they are leaving. And what is that? How does that happen? So much influences from outside. And then the inward sins. And so we need to give a biblical and practical response to give clear direction from the scriptures to everyone, to adults, to youth, to the children, to give discernment from the Word of God and to give guidance on moral issues, on ethical issues, on things that are being discussed publicly. What does the scripture say about these things? We can't ignore them. The world doesn't ignore them. You're questioned by them. And then you need to apply them. And when we are facing challenges at home, we have to understand, what does the scripture say about this matter? And be able to discuss these things biblically. And when we think about these things, with myself included, it becomes very personal. It affects us. When we go back to the scriptures, it affects us. We need to be willing to change. If the Lord reveals things to us. So let us think about these things. Let us think about some matters, moral, ethical, spiritual matters that are confronting you and me in our personal life, in our studies, in our work relationships, in our homes, outside of our homes. Friends, these are times that the Lord's people, those who are mature in the faith, those who oversee the congregations of the saints, and those who are placed by God to watch over your souls, we are commanded by God to exhort you from time to time, to encourage you. We are commanded by God to even bring a word of rebuke, to give some direction. The Apostle Paul commands every gospel minister to, in this way, he charges them in 2 Timothy and chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. This is what the Lord is saying to me. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. And then he says, what am I going to say? Does he say, preach encouraging messages? No, the first thing he says this, reproof, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So the exhortation comes after those things. The order is interesting. That passage that we read together in Titus, Titus chapter 2, this is what we read. Verse 15. This is what I am called to do. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Where is the authority of a preacher? The word of God. The word of God. And then he says, let no man despise thee. He's already showing that there is a despising that can come. There is discouragement that can come. But the authority is not in the man. It's in the word of God. You're not answerable to me. You're not answerable to the elders in that sense. You're ultimately answerable to God, and we are also. So the Apostle Paul, he was inspired to address people, address all kinds of people. In this chapter, he speaks to younger women, older men, younger men. He's addressing everybody in this first century church, giving them wise counsel that will guide and direct them in their spiritual walk for the Lord. And the first thing is that if you are not converted, you ought to seek the Lord. You cannot live the life of a Christian without Christ. You need the Lord. And today, my friends, we need the same kind of exhortations desperately. Many of our youths are seduced by all kinds of diabolical interests. And grown-up people too. Adults as well. And by adults, I'm talking about from 18 years upwards. Those who are late in their youth. They are not children anymore. Don't treat them as children. At the moment, the youth are known from up to the mid-30s. No, my friends, they are not youth. They are adults who must grow up. We are raising, not children, we are raising people who need to serve the Lord as mature people. And friends, there are times that Christian parents struggle. Not times, we always struggle. Struggle to teach, struggle to rebuke, struggle to guide. And so that is why we need robust biblical reasons for the way that we live our lives, and or else we are just going to give up our children to the world, give up those who gather with us to the world. So I want to take some time to address the spiritual concerns for each of us, myself included. And hopefully, by the grace of God, help you to see the call of God on your life. What is the call of God on your life? You ask yourself, what is the Lord calling me to do, to be? One thing, the Lord calls you to be a Christian, follower of Christ. That's the call of God. To follow Him, to be His disciple, to learn from the Lord, to depend on the Savior, to remember that He died for sinners like you, and to surrender your life completely to Him. That's what the call of God is. Or else all is lost. All of the things that you are doing, it will all be burnt up on that final day. You think about all of those pharaohs in this world who were buried with their treasures. Their treasures are now in museums. They couldn't take it with them. All of the learnings of the great men of God, where is it now? Now, let me tell you that if you want to study these things and meditate on these things, and we need to meditate, we need to pause on some of these things, and I appreciate that I probably will be dealing with so many issues, so many matters in this even introductory message, that you would have to break it down. You have to pause and think and be like a bee that goes and concentrates on one flower. Doesn't just fly around from one to other, but if you look at a bee, it just concentrates, goes deep down to get the sap, waits for a while, and that is what the Christian should be, to bring the honey out, or the sap out, and make the honey. But you can read, I would strongly suggest to you, especially the youth, the younger ones, and those older ones you haven't read, the book by J.C. Ryle, Thoughts for Young Men. He put it for young men, but it's for everybody. And from the scriptures, and the Chapel Library publishes it, freely you can have it. And so what I'm doing is condensing it from the Word of God and showing you some of these things in this introductory message. And the first thing that I want us to consider, when we think about living in this ungodly world, how to live in this ungodly world, the first thing is this, that God calls us to be sober-minded. God calls us to be sober-minded. This is the exhortation. Look at Titus 2 and verses 6 through to 8. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, he says. He says you must encourage them. You must keep pointing before them. And yes, this is mentioned, young men, but I would say every one of us need this. Sober-mindedness. We are not to be flippant. We are not to be lighthearted all the time. There's nothing wrong with in season, in certain times, to be lighthearted. But when you look at your life, when you look at day in, day out, the issues of your life, it's not a joke. Don't be flippant about it. Your life is passing before you so quickly. Any one of us who've had a car crash, you know it. As your car is flying into the air or into the ditch, time stops. And your whole life goes before you. It's happened to me once or maybe more. And it is amazing what happens in that time. And everything just pauses for a second or two. And this is how we ought to view your life. This is why the Word of God, the preaching of it and the hearing of it, it makes you pause for an hour or so to think upon important things of your life. And it's not an easy thing. So he says, to be sober-minded. It says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And so on. So it says you ought to be sober-minded. God is calling us for that. Frivolity, flippancy, silliness, and superficiality can be used to describe not only the youth, but our whole culture. You just watch any of the programs in the media. It is silly, full of superficiality. Our culture, my friend, is caught up with all kinds of silliness. The things that you see, it is the kind of movements that you see in the programs, and you see it in people's attitudes, the silly sexualized dancing. On all kinds of things. You look what your children are watching. You see what they have, and you see various gadgets and various apps that they have. And I'm being quite practical here. You take hold of your, if you let your child to have a smartphone, see what kind of apps they have, and you open your Bible and see what they see with the scriptures. And you see, if they have TikTok, those of you who are older may not appreciate these things, and I appreciate that, but these things need to be said because parents don't always take notice of these things. If your child has TikTok, you see what they are watching. If they have Snapchat, you see what they are watching. If they have Instagram, you see what they are doing. You see a world that is filled with these things, silly stuff. The drinking and the dancing and the watching of all kinds of questionable shows and films, chatting constantly on the social media about nothing, hanging out in the corners of the street. You see them. And we might have all ourselves have taken part in them in our youth, but then you ask yourself, where is my child going at nights? The gossiping, the making fun of people, and all kinds of senseless and flippant activities. And adults can get involved in that as well. Youth and young and old are exhorted also to guard their tongue, to guard and ensure that their conversation are edifying. Listen to the word of God. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says this. Now people say, oh, I don't want to be told law, so I'm not a law keeper. And we understand that. But this is the command of the scripture. This is what the Lord says. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. This is how your speech should be. This is how my speech should be. And that's cutting, isn't it? Because when I look at my life, and I'm sure you would say the same, it's not always like this. That's why I need it before me, regularly, as a reminder. This is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. And that means I can't say, well, this is how I have been brought up, but this is, I speak in this manner. I was brought up in this kind of a culture. I wasn't brought up in your old culture and such things. That's not the way the scripture says. It doesn't care how we have been. It says, what is our high calling? And so all of these things includes verbal and nonverbal. What we write and the way we react to things. And quickly we can write an email, we can send a text, we can send a message via WhatsApp and social media. And the Lord is saying to you, be careful. Be careful how you respond. Don't become like the world. This is what the apostle says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. He says this, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So your word, your lifestyle, all of these things. How is that with you, my friends? How is it? Isn't this convicting? It is convicting. But it needs to be said. I need to hear it. We are also to show forth good character. What is your character like? Can people trust you? Or people are always concerned, worried when they are talking with you. They're walking on eggshells, or they can't really take your word because you might exaggerate things. You may not say everything in certain situations. But what is your character? Does it show forth the fruit of the Holy Spirit? As we have it in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. We are called to exhibit a pattern of good works. We read this in verse 7 of Titus chapter 2. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. That's the pattern. That's how you should be exhibiting your life. That's the character. That's the kind of a person you ought to be. That is in an edifying demeanor. That is with grace, with sincerity. You show sound doctrine. You know that you are striving to understand the Word of God better. It is sound doctrine. It's not on questionable grounds. And it is with dignity. Dignity. Do you have dignity? Think on these things, friends. You are to apply the Scriptures, the doctrine of the Scripture, teaching of the Scripture, the moral teaching of the Word of God. You are to apply those things. Where do you get those things from? You have the general summary of the moral teaching of the will of God for you in the Ten Commandments. You have the teaching of the Word of God in the words of Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. You have the various biblical practical themes in the Scriptures. You have the whole library of the Bible. Make it your daily study, the Word of God. But that's not enough. It's not about just studying. It's not just about knowledge. It's not just about what you say. It is what fruit is produced, what you do. Happy are they, the Lord Jesus said, that do them. Blessed are they that do them. James tells us this in James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be ye doers of the word. The very fact that he says, but, is saying that there are people who don't do the word of God. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. He says you can deceive yourself. You can think all is well when it is not. So think on that, friends. The Lord is calling us to sober thinking. The Lord is calling us to be of this mind, sober-mindedness. The world is not sober-minded. The second thing is this call to watchfulness against the world's intrusions. I've already touched on some of these things. But the Lord calls us to watch, because the world intrudes itself. And we read, didn't we, from that portion in Romans chapter 12. It's again a command of the Lord through the Apostle Paul in Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Friends, we have particular concerns, not just for the youth, but for adults, in this godless world. There are special threats, there are special dangers that we are under. We could say, well, yes, especially young people. But we all need to be careful of these dangers and these threats in our day. What do you listen to? What do you fill your mind with? In the things that you listen to, the media, the music, is it of the world? Are your children able to recite kind of music of this world, and yet they struggle to memorize the Scriptures? They struggle to sing the praises of God. They don't sing any of it in congregation like this or in any place, in your own family worship. You struggle with that. And why are they listening to all kinds of nonsense in this world? You listen to the lyrics or read the lyrics of what they listen to. The movies, the television programs that we watch, the social media, the apps that they have and we have on our phones, the internet websites that we go to. It's no longer the issue of going to the cinema. It is now in our homes. It is so accessible. These things are so accessible. And so we need to be careful, because there is a great spiritual danger and the harm is coming our way. And we feel it in being obsessed with these things. When an adult or a child becomes obsessed, they can't get away from this thing. when they're enthralled by these worldly interests and pastimes that do not build up the fear of God, it doesn't help them spiritually, nor a desire for holiness, to follow the Lord, to know the Lord, then that's a concern. It should be a concern for you, for your own soul, for those around you. And so the Apostle Paul gives us these warnings. Don't be conformed to this world. The Apostle Paul warns in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. So you have the promises of God. He says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. That's what we ought to be doing. It's every day is cleansing work going on. And it is us who must cleanse. There is, yes, we believe in the work of the Holy Spirit, in sanctifying and cleansing. But here the Apostle Paul says, let us cleanse ourselves. Things you see in your life, filthiness in your life, you ought to cleanse that. Clean it out of your life. Clean it out of your home. It says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's not Old Testament, that's New Testament. So, my friends, beware of these things. Beware of the things that you're seeing. There are things that are being advertised all around us with attractive campaigns and advertisements. The latest films and programs and soap operas. Latest comedy at night with unedifying elements in it. Gossip, meaningless chatter, drinking and smoking and vulgar language and blasphemy and immoral behavior, promotion of the LGBT and homosexuality. These things, we are being bombarded by it, friends. And they need to be said. Where are your standards? Where are my standards? Maybe we need to cut off those streaming channels. We need to cut off Netflix and Amazon and Disney Plus and such things. You examine it with the Word of God, you'll be shocked. You know, I've been very convicted about this myself and thinking, well, I thought Amazon was just for getting books and items and various things, and we found actually you can watch stuff on it as well. And then they put you on the subscription, and then before you know it, you're beginning to view things, watching things. And you get convicted to the heart. And when you stop the subscription, what a relief. You're free. And you think, what was I doing? What was I doing? But we need to constantly see what the Scripture is saying. And my friends, you might say, well, this is a children's channel. This is a children's channel. My friends, you examine what's happening in our society. When Disney Plus puts Bambi, those of you who are older would know Bambi. It was a very simple cartoon. They have put it in the adult section of Disney Plus. Why did they do that? Because they say it offends people for today. It offends people. It's a child's cartoon. And they put it in the adult section. And they put a label on it. This might harm you. It tells you they have an agenda. Don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. You're drinking in. You're immersing yourself in the seduction of the world like the frog in the boiling pan. And so you need to watch yourself. That's why the Scripture, and this is not new. What we are experiencing is not new. Every generation has had this temptation. Every generation, pastors and preachers have been warning about all kinds of things. You read J.C. Ryle, he talks about theater. He talks about dancing and gambling and card playing and all kinds of other things, drinking and such things. It's not new. And you think, well, I didn't think they did those things then. Since Adam fell into sin, this world is messed up with sin. Have your Bible opened. Examine things by the Scriptures. if it is questionable, if you're unsettled in your heart, it is better to stop than carry on and see where it leads. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof is death, the scripture says. These outlets, these channels, these various forms of media, be it books and internet and all sorts of things, the news, they are not being governed by godly people. And their intention is what? They say it. It's black and white. They say it is to move culture forward. That means to indoctrinate the way they wish, to change our culture. And so this is why we are in the mess we are. You think, why? This nation has changed. Well, it's happened over decades of indoctrination. And so we need to reject, we need to guard our hearts against such unhelpful influences that may corrupt our own heart, my heart. This is nothing to do with the children. This is about me. It's about my mind. How many ministers of the gospel, how many elders, how many preachers fall every month, every year, and they have written books, and you think, how could that person do such a thing? It's happened. People who are famous and not so famous. Why does these things happen? It's the heart. And then you listen, you watch, you take these things in, immerse yourself in these things, and then your life changes too. Your heart and mind change too. They suck you in. And that unethical lifestyle becomes yours. So that is why the Apostle Paul is pleading. He's begging. He says, I beseech you. He couldn't use any stronger language. I beseech you in Romans chapter 12. I beg you. I would do anything I could, he says, that ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you need God's mercies. You need the grace of God for this, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Your life is constantly dying to self, living for Christ. You're on that altar, and you're that burnt offering to God every day. Do you think, is it a happy thing? Do you enjoy being burnt? Do you enjoy being sacrificed? No, you don't. You burnt your hand touching something that you just grabbed out of the oven, and you don't like it. It's painful. And yet the Lord says, spiritually speaking, day in, day out, you are this sacrifice to God. Your body, your life, everything about you. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It is a reasonable service. It is what you ought to be doing. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that takes time. Day in, day out, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You will enjoy the benefits. You will be blessed, man. You read Psalm 1. Apply it every day to yourself. So I ask you again, do you have limits for yourself, for those who are in your home, in terms of what they are taking in? They could be legitimate things. But legitimate things can be deadly too. You just drink water all day. It's legitimate. It's not going to make you fat. It won't. It's good, you say. You need to have water. But you drink all of that every day without any kind of limit on it, and you will die. And you can say certain things are legitimate. But if you sit under that, if you let your children sit under that, it will not do them good. We are not called to sit and become users. We are not called to sit and simply become consumers. What are we doing to glorify God? And so the scripture says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The third thing is this. The Lord calls us to godly friendships. What kinds of friends do you choose? The Lord is interested in that. You can't say it's a personal thing. The Lord guides us. The Lord instructs us about friendships that we form. Friends, choose friends who will benefit your soul, friends whom you can really respect, friends whom you would like to have near you when you are on your deathbed, friends who live out the Bible, who are good influences in your life, friends who are not afraid to speak to you about the Lord, friends such as you will not be ashamed of owning at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow the example of those you read in the scriptures. Learn from their bad example as well. Learn what David says. He says this in Psalm 119, verse 63. I am a companion, he says, of all them that fear thee. Those are my companions. Those are my friends. I'm a companion of all them that fear thee. That doesn't mean he didn't have ungodly people around him in his life. No, it doesn't mean that. But his companions, those who are influencing him, are godly people who fear God. And of them that keep thy precepts. It's not just people who say they are Christians. Well, everybody says they are Christians or believe in God in some form. But are they keeping the precepts of God? And he had Jonathan as his best friend. Daniel, he had his godly, God-fearing friends. This is what we read of them. In Daniel chapter 3 and verse 12, it says this, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. These are Daniel's companions. These are the people who don't regard the kings of this world. They don't regard the gods and the cultures of this world. These are the people Daniel was with. And we sing. We say to the children, oh, to be like Daniel. Remember the words of Solomon in Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Are you companion of fools? Are your children companion of fools as the Bible describes it? Don't be surprised if they will be destroyed. It's a serious matter. It's a sobering thing. It makes me fear. It makes me sit up. You see, bad company in life is a sure way to procure worse company in the life to come, in eternal condemnation. Who will be with you in eternity? Those who are being condemned or those who are in that bliss of heaven? With whom will you be? Think of the unspeakable comfort and joy also that you will have before the Lord and for yourself. When you think about your companions, when you think about people that will become your friends, and I'm speaking now to some of the young people here, the children here, you think about that. Think about the joy that you give to your parents and to your relations, to your friends, if you obey God's counsel. Think about all of the time that has been expended on you, all the money, all of the health that your family have sought to rear you up and to nurture you in the fear of God and the things that as best as they can. What do you say to that? Surely they deserve some consideration, some respect. Who will recognize, who can tell the anxiety, the sorrow of the sons like Esau? Who can count up the sorrow of the sons of Hophni and Phinehas and Absalom that they caused the parents? Solomon says this in Proverbs 10 and verse 1, a wise son maketh a glad father, But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You raise up foolish children, and they will cause you great heaviness at the end. What ought you to do? Give God your life. Give the Lord. Surrender yourself to the Lord. Surrender yourself to Him now, today. For out of it, out of this heart, are the issues of life, Solomon says. Let it not be said of you one day that your life was a blunder, that your life, your manhood, your womanhood was a struggle. No one knew. Were you a Christian? No one could tell for sure. And then your old age will be a regret. I wish, you would say. I wish I did that. I wish I did this. Think of the good that you can do for Christ. Almost all of the eminent saints and believers who trusted in the Lord sought the Lord early. You think about Moses. You think about Samuel, David, Daniel. All served God from their youth. God delights to give, to bestow special honor on young servants. You think about David in his most likely late teens, early 20s, who fought the giant Goliath. Do pray, friends. Do pray about consecrating the springtime of your life to God, to serve Him, not to serve this world. Say, I'm done with this world. I'm done with friends who don't encourage me. I can see it's been a waste even. See, preachers, workers in local congregations are needed. They're needed now almost more than ever before. And can they be found? Where are the godly men who we can say that they are qualified to take office? What are we waiting for? Qualified men have ordered their homes correctly. And my friends, am I talking to you? Are there people who are being convicted? I am convicted. There is much need to sow the seed of the gospel in this land. There is much evangelism. There is much work to be done. There are so many people who are needing to hear the gospel, but there are no hands at work at it. Ministers, elders, deacons, evangelists are wanted for churches, and missionaries are wanted for new places of outreach. But the supply of godly and faithful, trusted men for posts like that is far below the demand. Keep godly friendships that help you in following the Lord and serving Him. So what kind of friends do you have? What kind of friends do you allow your children to have, encourage your children in? What kind of activities and sports do you encourage your children in? Are they good things? Are they God-glorifying things? What will they say in eternity about them? Or would they say that was just the wood? That was the stubble. That was the hay. It was burnt up. Why did I waste my time on that? I'm talking seriously about these things. And you read J.C. Ryle, and he speaks bluntly. Maybe more bluntly than what I am saying now. Be careful in your choice of companions. Have godly companions. Don't be after clever people, whoever they are, male or female, agreeable people, good-looking people, high-spirited people, fun people, funny people. They are not everything. Never be satisfied with the friendship of anyone who will not be useful to your soul in the end, to the glory of God. And the importance of this advice cannot be overrated. There is no telling of the harm that is done by associating with godless companions and friends. And friends, the devil has few better helps in ruining a man's soul than worldliness and godless friends. This is what the apostle says. This is what God says. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. And then he says, with who? With who? With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. These are the people that you should be with. Those who are calling upon the Lord. You say, there aren't any. They're all old people. Be with old people. Like Daniel, have godly friends that will pray together with you. That was the charge in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 18. Look at Daniel and his fellows who went up and prayed. Good education, early habits of morality, good sermons. And you say, I want to take my children to a good church that will hear good sermons. I will do daily Bible studies with them, daily personal and family worship. Friends, it will not do them good if you allow all kinds of other things. You can eat healthy, but if every day you're injecting yourself with a drug, it will poison your system. It will kill you. So all these other good things you may do. But if you're allowing the little foxes that come in, they will spoil the vine, the scripture says. If they cling to ungodly friends, then no wonder, my friends, so many are lost and go and they are not seen again. You resist many open temptations. You resist many, refuse many plain snares. But once you take up a bad companion, there is imminent spiritual disaster. That's what the scripture says. That awful chapter which describes Amnon's wicked conduct about Tamar, it begins with these words. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, this is how the chapter begins. But Amnon had a friend, it says. But Amnon had a friend, a very subtle man. That's what it says. So we are not making these things up, friends. You have a history. History that defends these things, proves these things. And we have many people as family, friends, that proves these things. Evil communications do indeed corrupt good manners. It corrupts behavior. It corrupts our view of God. Good friends are among our greatest blessings. They may keep us back from much evil. They quicken us in the course. They speak words that are fitting in season to our souls. They take us upward. They point us to the Savior. They help us to trust in the Lord. But a bad friend is a sure misfortune. A bad friend is constantly a weight, continually dragging us. It's like a chain to bad habits. Keep company with an unspiritual, ungodly person, and it is more than probable that you will in the end become like him. That is the general consequence of all such friendships. The good goes down to the bad, and the bad does not come up to the good. That's the main thing. That's what happens. A rotten apple corrupts the rest, and not vice versa. The proverb is correct. I read it only yesterday. Clothes and company tell true tales about character. Your clothes and your company tells much about your character. Solomon says this in Proverbs 17 and verse 17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceit. And finally, let me say this. The Lord calls us to service, not pleasure. The Lord calls us to service, not pleasure. Young men, young women, adults, older people, younger people. Right now, you are wanted by God. God calls your life. God demands your life. This is peculiarly an age of great spiritual activity. It ought to be. We shouldn't be sleeping in apathy. We shouldn't sit and just be happy with coming to services every Sunday. We shouldn't be happy with that. We shouldn't be indifferent towards others. We are our brother's keeper. A wide harvest. This wide harvest field is open before you if you are only willing to enter upon it. The harvest is great, the Lord Jesus said, but the laborers are few. And so we ought to be packing our prayer meetings to pray to God for this. So let us be zealous. Let us be zealous of good works. Come to the help of the local church in evangelism. Come and pray and ask God's help. Dedicate yourself. Don't give up on a work for the Lord in this gathering, in this local church. There is much to be done for the Lord in His church, in this kingdom, and at your home today, in evangelism, prayer, fellowship, Bible study, service of all kinds. You read Acts chapter 6, you read Psalm 119, verse 68, you see that. And that's the way to follow if you are following the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. Consider the testimony of our Lord, who is described that he went about doing what? Going on holidays. He went about doing what? Watching people? Talking about things? He went about doing good to the souls of men and women. That's what he did. And so, young men and women, beware of the ill effects that worldly pleasure produces and all the ways in which it will do you harm. Beware of worldly partyings and gatherings and smoking and feasting and drinking and all these kinds of things that the world loves. And when Christ comes, he will see a world like that. You don't be in it. You don't be caught up in it. That when Christ comes, you'll be with those who are in the ark. You'll be with those, they may be few, they may be strange folk, they may be a little odd, but you'll be with them. And you'll be safe in the ark of Jesus Christ. Few are to be found who do not know something of these things by bitter experience. All things that give a feeling of excitement for the time being, that drown thoughtfulness. The scripture says sobriety. And keep the mind in constant whirl, constant busyness, from this to that. That's why the children can't concentrate. Adults can't concentrate. Everyone has ADHD. Why? You ask. It's constant, thoughtless whirl in this world, which pleases the senses. But it deadens the soul, gratifies the flesh, occupies the time of life in worldly pleasures that corrupt the mind. Be on your guard then. And don't let inordinate amount of time be given to computer games, toys, even sports. I'm not saying don't do those things. I'm saying don't give inordinate amount of time to them. Be not like those whom Paul spoke, that they are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And like Demas, to forsake the apostle for the world. Friends, if you cleave to earthly pleasures, these are some consequences that will affect your soul. There is no surer way to get a seared conscience and a hard, impenitent heart than to give way to the desires of the flesh and of the mind. It seems nothing at first, but it has disastrous results in the end. So repent of your sin. I need to repent of my sins and be reconciled to God before it is too late. Listen to the words of the apostle. Abstain from fleshly lusts, and it says, which war against the soul. How fearful that is, which war against the soul. That's what they are warring against. It is intended that way. Satan has his devices. Sin has the potential to destroy the soul's peace with God. It breaks down its spiritual strength. That's why you and I don't have the strength that we ought to have. Maybe. It leads it into captivity. It makes a person a slave to Satan and an enemy of God. The apostle says, mortify, put to death, kill your members which are upon the earth. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. So once the body was a perfect mansion of the soul, the Puritans put it, now it is all corrupt, disordered, and needs constant watching. So it's a burden. Burden to the soul, not a helpmeet. It's a hindrance, not an assistance. It may be, as they said, the body may be a useful servant, but it is always a bad master. So, dear friends, our time is gone, but this is a depraved and fallen world, and there are many dangers that confront every one of us, every one of us, without exception, be it old or young. Be careful, be vigilant. As you grow in your walk of faith, if you're not a Christian, you seek God now. You seek the Lord now. Because you're already in the hand, under the control and power of the seducer. But don't be seduced if you're a Christian. Watch your own soul. Don't be bound in sin. We need the full armor of God to withstand the evil day, the scripture says in Ephesians 6. May the Lord preserve, may the Lord protect, keep each one of us. Save those who are still in the bondage of Satan. So are there changes need to be made? I hope there are changes in your life. I hope you're convicted, as I am convicted, things to change in my life, things to change in my home. I need to go and discuss things, maybe with my wife. I need to discuss things with our children. You need to do that. You need to go and say, what have you been doing? We need to stop certain things. I need to take certain things. I need to throw out certain things. And the Lord will bless, will help, will guard you when you follow Him. But you will lose out everything if you go your way or the way of the world. Well, may the Lord bless and speak to our hearts.